My dearest brothers and sisters in Christ our Lord, who have received countless blessings from His wondrous hand. You ever had a time in life where you figured you had it all together, you had your great and glorious plan, and as long as everything followed along exactly as you saw fit, it would all work out perfectly? Just to find out that not everything is going to go according to plan? And in the end, maybe how you saw the outcome coming isn't exactly how it was going to finish? We figure in high school we have this great and grand plan of what we're going to do. We're going to go to this college, we're going to study this, and then we're going to go here, and maybe we'll start an internship there, and next thing you know, this is how it'll all end up. And in 15 or 20 years, all of my dreams will be fulfilled. Do you know how many people 15 or 20 years later can say it went exactly the way I thought it would? Very few. Life doesn't work out that way. Sometimes our greatest plans, the best ideas that we have, they all fall apart. And have you ever had those opportunities where you do something in a certain way, figuring that it'll be the best outcome, just to find out that you didn't play every situation through in your head and it doesn't work out the way you wanted? You figured the conversation you were going to have with someone to lead them back to the right path, and this is how it was going to go, and they were going to praise you and say thank you. And you didn't realize everything that was involved with it. And your greatest plans end up being the biggest disaster. That's life. Let me give you an example. Imagine this for a moment. You or a family member is in a particular field. You do everything you can right, but it doesn't seem to be working out. You start up your own business and your own company, and it all falls apart on you. Not because of mismanagement, just because that's the way everything happened. And that's the way that certain other things transpired. And as you're sitting there wondering, how is it that I'm going to provide for my family, all of a sudden a gentleman comes along and says, I am already working in the field that you are in. I know you. I've seen what you were doing. I have financial support available. I have people all lined up and ready to work. I have contacts. I want to start another business and expand. I want you to partner with me in it. Everything seems to be working out now. Everything is running smoothly. Everything is great. The money is flowing. It's the most successful you've ever been. Just to find out that same individual who seemed to have all the right intentions, the only reason he wanted to partner with you is so he could embezzle money from the company and blame it all on you. And all of a sudden, the greatest blessings, that time where you thought things were so wonderful, turns into the biggest curse in your life. Where you have to spend years trying to get out from underneath the pile of debt, years having to get out from underneath the reputation and the slander, just trying to get everything back to where it's supposed to be. Sometimes the greatest blessings in our life, at least what we think to be the greatest blessings, don't always work out the way we intended, don't have the exact effect that we expected them to. And sometimes those moments when we are at our lowest and everything seems to be going wrong is the moment where we, because of a refocused attention and priority, becomes the greatest blessings we could have ever imagined. I think that's how it was for the people of Israel. See, the people of Judah, particularly in the southern kingdom, had seen ruin and disaster come on them and also on their brothers in the north. The northern kingdom of Israel, this is after they had split, had been conquered by Assyria and hauled off into captivity, never to return. And now the walls were closing in, and it looked like the exact same thing was going to happen, but this time at the hands of Babylon for Judah and Jerusalem and everybody in the southern kingdom. They thought they were at their lowest. Everything was falling apart. The Lord has turned His back on us. They weren't that far off from the truth. The Lord had turned His back on them, but because they had turned their backs on Him long before, turned away from worship of Him and turned to false gods. They didn't put their trust in Him like they used to. But they had a plan. Does that sound familiar to you at all? Happens to us in life too. Right when we think everything is running smoothly, right when everything seems to be going the way it's supposed to, all of a sudden we hit that roadblock, we hit that difficulty. And we don't realize that maybe the entire purpose of it was, is our focus and our attention was never in the right place to begin with, and all the blessings that we thought we had were just pulling us away from God and turning into the biggest curse. And all of a sudden, that which shakes us to our very core and refocuses our attention to trust in the Lord turns into the greatest blessing. In fact, that's what Jesus is saying in our gospel lesson, and that is what is happening for Jerusalem and Judah here, where we have to understand that blessings are cursed, and curses are blessed. Now, I was telling you about Judah in the south a little while ago. They had a solution to their problems. They figured they knew exactly how they were going to be able to resist Babylon and all of its power and all of its might. In fact, what they did is they turned to what used to be a former enemy of theirs. They turned to the nation of Egypt, which was just starting to make a resurgence, just starting to gain some power back. And they figured, if we can make an alliance with Egypt, political, economical, it will strengthen us both, and then Babylon won't be able to roll us both over. They'll have to take pause and stop. They put their trust in their own mighty power and arm, and they put their trust in the kingdom of Egypt. They figured that is what would get them through the hardest times. The trouble was, it wouldn't work. Because no amount of putting your trust in an earthly power was going to be able to overcome when God says, I am doing this to wake you up. The problem was, is they hadn't turned back to the Lord. In fact, that was what got them into that trouble in the first place. They had turned their backs on their God. They had gone to worshiping false gods and said, we want nothing to do with the blessings that the Lord offers. The same God who had given them so much, who had delivered them time and again, who had given them promise upon promise of blessing. It was the same God who had given them that land, quite literally, a miraculous way, had conquered all of the nations that they never should have been able to conquer all throughout the kingdom of Israel. And yet, despite all of that goodness and all of that blessing, they turned their back on God. So God has a proclamation for them. It comes through the prophet Jeremiah. This is what he said. This is what the Lord says. Cursed is anyone who trusts in mankind, who seeks his strength from human flesh, and who turns his heart away from the Lord. He will be like a juniper bush in the wasteland. He will not see good things when they come. He lives in a dry place in the wilderness, in a salty land where no one lives. Even in the moment where they figured they had everything figured out, when they were going to receive blessings, and now everything is going to come exactly the way it was supposed to. And we're going to be able to regain that which we had under David and Solomon. Well, the problem was, is Judah would never be able to reclaim what they had under David and Solomon because they'd turned from the Lord. The reason they were so blessed during that time is because David was a man after the Lord's own heart. It's because Solomon had asked for wisdom and insight in God's word. And they had held to him. They had blessing upon blessing. But now that they had turned their back on him, he says, I tell you, cursed is the one who trusts in their own power or in the power of Egypt. That's never going to do it for you. Because even if, by some amazing way, they were able to withstand the forces of Babylon with a united front, the truth is, all it would do is reinforce within them the idea that they can do this on their own. They don't need the Lord anymore. They don't need to trust in Him anymore. And they will continue to trust in their own strength and power. Is that a blessing? Even if everything from a human standpoint seems to be going right, they're still cursed. Because the further they get from the Lord, the further they get from the forgiveness and life that He alone can give. It says they're going to be like that juniper bush out in the wasteland. They're going to look out and they're going to see every other nation apparently being blessed with rain and all good things, and they would sit there with nothing. They would feel the drought in its entirety and to the point where it shrivels up because no one can live there. Why would they be in the wasteland? Because they'd walked away from the life-giving stream of God and His promises. No matter how many earthly blessings they may have, they ultimately would be cursed. Because cursed is everyone who doesn't have the Lord. Does that sound familiar to where we are and what we live in now? We live in a world that is so completely convinced that they can set aside anything having to do with God and with His Word, and they figure that if we were to give ourselves over to what the Lord says, well, that would be the biggest curse ever, because I wouldn't be able to live the life I want to live anymore. I wouldn't be able to do what I want to do anymore. And I've heard people come right out and tell me, well, if I had to follow the Bible, I wouldn't be able to be free to do all the things I want to do. And why would I want to give myself over to a God who has so many demands on my life? What would I lose for myself? And as many blessings as people might think that they see, in the end, the further we get away from the Lord, the further we get away from the actual blessings that He gives. We could have everything in this world worked out. We could be the wealthiest, the one who is seen as the most prestigious, the one exalted above every other person in this world. We could have it all and at the same time have nothing. Because what good is it going to do? What good will all of the wealth and the power and the glory of this world serve us when it's all fallen apart? When the world's redone in fire, it burns up with it. All of a sudden, all of those blessings, as we see them from a human standpoint, we find out that all they did was pull us away from the Lord and cursed the very existence that we lived in. Because none of it helps. None of it's beneficial. That's where Judah was. That's where the world is now. We pull further and further away from the Lord, chasing after our own dreams and our own selfish ambition. And we're losing out on the one thing needed. But there's still hope, you know. Even if all of those blessings are cursed because they pull us away from the Lord, there is hope that remains for those who remain in faith. Because Jeremiah finishes this, he said, "But blessed is anyone who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in Him. He will be like a tree planted by water. It sends out its roots to the stream. It does not fear the heat when it comes. Its leaves will remain green. It is not concerned about a time of drought. It does not stop producing fruit." For those who put their confidence and their trust in God and God alone and His promises, we have nothing to fear. It's like we're a tree planted by the stream. Even if the drought hits and the heat of the day comes, our roots are solidly in the foundation of Christ, that life-giving water. It comes into our system, into who we are, and it gives us life. So that our lives don't turn out sour, it doesn't dry up and die, and we never have to worry about it doing so because we have the one thing needed, the promise of God. See, that's why God sent His Son, Jesus, who would live the life we could not live, who would die on the cross and then rise again to assure us that His promises are true. He is the source of life. He is the source of all things good. If we stay rooted in Him, if He is our foundation, if He is what we hold to, then nothing this world throws at us can ever take it away. Even if the world seems to be burning down around us, we still have Christ and the promise of glory. Even if the foundations of our life are shaken and the world comes crumbling down, we still have heaven. You see, this is the promise of God. So even if the world might look at it and say, "You mean you have to give your life over in service to your Savior?" I don't have to, I want to. You mean you have to start listening to a God who tells you to do things that you might not want to do? I don't have to, I want to. Well, that's all sacrifices that you have to make, they'll say. They figure it's a curse to have to bear this name Christian. Sometimes we do. Sometimes we face persecution. Jesus Himself was killed because of His message. His disciples who followed after Him were killed because of their message. Persecution reigned. I think we've all felt the fact that the world sneers and snickers when they find out that we actually believe what the Bible says and hold in with confidence what it is He has promised. Cursed, they'll say. No. What you see as a curse is the greatest blessing. Because I don't have to fear anything. I don't have to be worried when everything seems to fall apart. Because nothing truly has changed. My God still holds to His promise. You are forgiven. You will live. I never have to fear what the world throws at me because heaven is my home. I don't have to worry about all of the persecutions and problems because I have the promise of God. This is the blessing that we receive. It's when we don't turn our back on our God, but we come to Him and say, Lord, take care of me. Do what you have said you will do. Fulfill the promise that you have made. And I trust in you and you alone. That's where blessings come from. The source. And even if it seems like everything in our world is falling apart and from an earthly standpoint we have nothing that we would have thought or desired, in faith we have everything needed. If you remember that story I told a little bit ago about the business venture that turned sour, I wish I could tell you that it was just a made-up story, but I have personal experience in it with my own family. And the individual who did everything to try to get a little bit more money and to lie and cheat his way forward, he is the same one who would promote himself as a good Christian man, but would tell you flat out there's a difference between personal and business. So I can lie and I can cheat and I can steal in business to get ahead because I don't have to be a Christian there. What he felt is a blessing, well, that's a curse. Because it drew him further and further away from his Savior. And I pray still to this day that even though I may not be aware of it, that he came back to his Savior. But I do know one thing. What seemed to be a curse drew a family closer together than they had ever been before and made them trust not in their own power and not in their own strength, but to give it to God and let Him provide. And you know what? Things worked out just fine. Because God is good. God keeps His promises. And even if everything fell apart, heaven is our home. What a wonderful blessing. That's what we have in our God. Blessings are cursed, and curses become blessings. The blessings come when we hold firm to that which God has promised and say, Lord, in you I put my trust. Amen.